Half-Life 2, from Wikipedia, the free encyclopedia, at en.wikipedia.org. Half-Life 2 is a science fiction first-person shooter computer game and the sequel to Half-Life. It was developed by the Valve Software Corporation and was released on November 16, 2004, following a protracted 5-year development cycle during which the game's source code was leaked to the internet. The game garnered near-unanimous positive reviews and received critical acclaim, winning over 35 Game of the Year awards for 2005. Originally available only for Windows-based personal computers, the game has since been ported onto the Xbox console and is due to be released additionally for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 in 2007. Taking place in and around the fictional City 17 sometime in the near future, Half-Life 2 follows the scientist Gordon Freeman. Dr. Freeman is thrust into a dystopian environment in which the aftermath of the Black Mesa incident has come to bear fully upon human society. Freeman is forced to fight against increasingly unfavorable odds in order to survive. In his struggle, he is joined by various allies, including fellow Black Mesa colleagues, oppressed citizens of City 17, and the Vortigaunts. The game uses the Source Game engine, which includes a heavily modified version of the Havok physics engine. Half-Life 2 has been critically acclaimed for advances in computer animation, sound, narration, computer graphics, artificial intelligence, and physics. When sales figures were last announced, over 4 million copies of Half-Life 2 had been sold. Exact numbers for delivery channels haven't been revealed, but in general, Steam accounts for 25% of Valve's business and is significantly more profitable than Valve's retail sales. Overall, the Half-Life franchise, including Counter-Strike and Day of Defeat, has seen over 15 million sales. First section called Story. Spoiler warning, plot and or ending details follow. Prologue. The original Half-Life, released on November 19, 1998, largely took place at a remote civilian and military laboratory called the Black Mesa Research Facility. During an experiment, researchers at Black Mesa accidentally caused a resonance cascade, which opened a portal to an alien world called Zen. Creatures from Zen flooded into Black Mesa via the portal and started to kill anyone in sight. The player took on the role of Gordon Freeman, one of the research scientists involved in the accident, guiding him in his attempt to escape the facility. At the end of the game, Gordon was extracted by a mysterious figure colloquially known as the G-Man, who offered him employment. Freeman was subsequently put into stasis by the G-Man. Half-Life canon dictates that Gordon Freeman either agreed or was not given a real option in regards to the G-Man's ultimatum. Half-Life 2 picks up the story with the G-Man taking Freeman out of stasis and inserting him on a train en route to City 17, an indeterminate number of years after the Black Mesa incident. Official sources differ on the actual length of this intermission. A story fragment written by author Mark Laidlaw for the development team puts the intermission at 10 years, while Half-Life 2 Episode 1's website puts this intermission as, quote, nearly 2 decades, end quote, after the end of the events of Half-Life. A preview of Half-Life 2 by 1UP mentions the game taking place, quote, 15 years after the first game. Plot. At the start of the game, the G-Man speaks to Gordon Freeman as part of a hallucination-like vision as he is pulled out of stasis. The world has been overtaken by aliens known as the Combine. Gordon meets up with Barney Calhoun and sets out for Dr. Isaac Kleiner's lab while being chased by civil protection. Gordon eventually meets Alex Vance and is taken to Dr. Kleiner's lab. At the lab, an attempt to teleport Alex to Black Mesa East works, but the teleporter fails for Gordon and alerts the Combine of Gordon's arrival in City 17. Barney instructs Gordon to take the city's canals to get to Eli's lab. While navigating the city's canals, Gordon is chased by the Combine on foot until being outfitted with an airboat at a rebel outpost. However, the airboat is soon spotted by the Combine and pursued by a hunter-chopper assault helicopter. Using a salvaged Overwatch hunter-chopper turret, Gordon manages to take down the pursuing helicopter. He arrives at Black Mesa East and meets Dr. Eli Vance and Dr. Judith Mossman, as well as rejoining Alex. Alex gives him a tool originally developed for handling hazardous materials called the Zero-Point Energy Field Manipulator, also known as the Gravity Gun, and instructs Gordon on its use while also introducing Dog, a giant pet robot. The lab is attacked by the Combine, forcing Gordon to escape along an old tunnel leading to Ravenholm. A Combine shelling caused Ravenholm to be overrun with headcrabs and zombies, making Father Grigori the last human resident of Ravenholm. Grigori helps Gordon through Ravenholm and ultimately leads him to the dockyards outside City 17. Freeman is alerted by Alex via radio that Eli has been captured and is being held in Nova Prospect. Freeman travels to Nova Prospect in a dune buggy, helping down a Combine gunship after meeting Colonel Odessa Cubbage at another resistance base, who gives him an RPG launcher. The journey is made more difficult due to antlions and the antlion guard. A Vortigaunt extracts a ferropod from the antlion guard's carcass and gives it to Gordon, allowing him to command the antlions, though not their antlion guard masters. At Nova Prospect, Freeman searches for Eli. Alex joins with Gordon again, and together they find both Eli and Dr. Judith Mossman, now discovered to be a Combine spy. Mossman creates a distraction and teleports herself and Eli into the Citadel, while Gordon and Alex teleport themselves to Dr. Kleiner's lab. A malfunction in the equipment causes them to arrive at Dr. Kleiner's lab more than a week after they teleported. During this lost week, the resistance has considerably strengthened. Gordon leads fighters towards the Citadel to free Dr. Vance while Alex helps Dr. Kleiner escape the lab. Later, Alex briefly rejoins and accompanies Gordon in a battle to disable a Combine power generator, but she is subsequently captured by Combine forces. After reaching Barney, Gordon shuts down a suppression device, blocking access to the Citadel, and brings down a pack of Striders. Gordon enters the Citadel through an underground passage. All of his weapons are destroyed or removed by a confiscation field, save the gravity gun. The field instead strengthens the gravity gun, and using this, Gordon wreaks havoc upon the Citadel. Freeman enters a containment apparatus, which brings him face to face with Dr. Breen. Dr. Judith Mossman is with Breen, and he summons Eli and Alex, who are being held in similar devices. During the confrontation, Breen remarks that Freeman's services are, quote, open to the highest bidder, end quote. As Breen threatens the Vances, Judith finally turns against him. Breen manages to escape to a dark energy reactor at the top of the Citadel, with the intent of teleporting him away from Earth. Gordon and Alex pursue him, and Gordon destroys the reactor, both to depower the Citadel and to prevent Breen's escape. This triggers a massive explosion in which Gordon and Alex are imperiled. However, at the moment the reactor explodes, time stops. The G-Man emerges, commenting on Gordon's successful endeavors, before placing Gordon back into stasis and leaving through a door of pure light. The game ends exactly as it began, in darkness. The story continues from this point in Half-Life 2, Episode 1. Narration. Throughout the entire game, Freeman never speaks. The action is viewed through his eyes only, i.e. there are no cutscenes, and there are no discontinuities or jumps in time from his point of view. There has been some criticism of these narrative holdovers from Half-Life, since they effectively limit how much of the backstory is explained. Due to the lack of cutscenes, the player never directly sees what has happened in Gordon's absence. Ultimately, it is not clear to what extent Gordon exists as a separate character outside of the player's influences. Since the start of Half-Life, Valve has made sure that the player's and Gordon's experience are one and the same. An example of Valve's player strategy is shown during the scene in Eli's lab. Investigation of certain props, most notably the newspaper board, triggers Eli to give some explanation to their meaning and history, thus indicating that Gordon presents emotions that the non-player characters can detect. These minor events may have been included to mirror the player's possible sense of curiosity, thus further merging the identities of Gordon and the player. Some of the Vortigaunt's enigmatic comments in the game seem to indicate this concurrent identity phenomenon. The ending of Half-Life 2 is also very similar to that of the original. After completing a difficult task against seemingly overwhelming odds, Gordon is extracted by the G-Man. Freeman is smugly congratulated and told that further assignments should follow. The fate of many of the major characters, such as Alex, Eli, and Judith, go unexplained. Very few of the questions raised by Half-Life are answered, and several new ones are presented. The identity and nature of the G-Man remains a mystery. Setting. The environments in Half-Life 2 are varied, ranging from the generally Eastern European-styled City 17 and the zombie-invested town of Ravenholm, to the coastal Nova Prospect prison and the massive Combine Citadel. Viktor Antonov, the art director of Half-Life 2, wrote that Eastern Europe was favored as a setting for the game, as it is capable of depicting a combination of both new and old architecture, creating a city with history. Quote, Gothic themes associated with Prague and vampires, end quote, were also overlooked in favor of a different aspect of the region. The game's setting sees frequent appearance of Kryllic letters on signs and graffiti. Old cars scattered throughout the game are similar to ones commonly found in Eastern Europe, such as Moskvichs, Trabants, and Volgas. During the game, Gordon comes to a coastal resistance settlement called New Little Odessa. Odessa is a major city located on the coast of Ukraine. Father Grigori has a name common to Eastern European countries and an accent that is stereotypically Eastern European. The naming of City 17 itself is similar to the Soviet practice of numbering secret closed cities rather than naming them. In addition to incorporating Eastern European elements, examples of Norwegian, Polish, Romanian, Swedish, Finnish, French, and Russian influences also exist, suggesting that the setting is something of a montage of European and Russian locations. Spoilers end here. New section called Gameplay. Half-Life 2's gameplay is broadly similar to that of the original. Players make their way through a linear series of levels, encountering both human troops and hostile alien creatures. As in Half-Life, the gameplay is broken up with a series of puzzles. However, Half-Life 2 includes physics-based puzzles. For example, one puzzle requires the player to either turn a seesaw-like lever into a ramp by placing cinder blocks at one end, or to stack the cinder blocks into a crude stairway. The use of physics extends into combat with the gravity gun. This unique weapon plays a crucial function throughout the game, granting the player an unprecedented amount of creativity in its use, such as picking up and throwing objects at enemies, holding objects indefinitely for use as makeshift cover, grabbing health and ammunition from out-of-reach places, returning enemies' grenades, building makeshift bridges, or manipulating objects through combined force fields. Vehicles are another major gameplay addition. The player has the ability to drive two vehicles during the single-player campaign, an airboat, which Gordon uses to navigate through the canal network, and a dune buggy, which Gordon uses to get to Nova Prospect. The airboat is initially unarmed, but is later mounted with a combine weapon from a downed hunter chopper. The buggy is armed with a tau cannon that functions exactly like the one found in the original Half-Life. The game also integrates tutorial-like tasks in the storyline itself, and includes on-screen instructions on game controls, but no longer includes separate tutorial levels featured in the original, to allow familiarization of the game's mechanics and weapons for players as they go. Several such examples include an early incident in-game where a civil protection unit orders the player to pick up a tin can and throw it into the trash can, and Alex Vance's introduction of the gravity gun at Black Mesa East, which incorporates an impromptu game of catch with her robot dog. Characters and creatures. Although Gordon battles through much of Half-Life 2 alone, he is at times assisted by friendly allies. For the most part, these are human members of the Resistance, but Gordon is also helped by Vortigaunts and later Antlions. This latter insectoid species is new to the Half-Life universe, and is encountered first as a fiercely territorial foe, but is later co-opted into acting as an abundant and obedient ally. At several key locations, Gordon also meets up with and fights alongside more significant non-player characters like Alex Vance, Barney Calhoun, and Alex's robot dog. Many familiar enemies from Half-Life return in this game, such as headcrabs, barnacles, and headcrab zombies. However, the majority of the game is spent fighting the Combine, who wield large military forces against Gordon and the people of City 17. Combine forces are varied and consist of modified humans, biomechanical machines, robotic weapons, including the use of headcrabs as biological weapons. Weapons. Some of the weapons featured in Half-Life 2 are carried over from Half-Life, including the trademark crowbar for melee fighting, the conventional firearms of the SPS-12 shotgun, .357 Magnum revolver, crossbow, and rocket-propelled grenade launcher, as well as the Gauss gun experimental particle weapon, which is mounted on the dune buggy. Several new weapons are also introduced. The Combine pulse rifle, theropods which grant control over antlions, and most significantly, the zero-point energy field manipulator, or gravity gun. Multiplayer. Half-Life 2 was released without a multiplayer component and was instead packaged with Counter-Strike Source. This later changed on November 30, 2004, when Valve released the Half-Life 2 Deathmatch component along with the full SDK as a free download to all Half-Life 2 owners. Like other Deathmatch games, the aim of Half-Life 2 Deathmatch is to kill as many other players as possible, using a variety of means in either free-for-all or team matches. The player spawns with a gravity gun, a pistol, a submachine gun, and grenades. All weapons included in the single-player portion of Half-Life 2, with the exception of the theropod, are available and scattered randomly throughout the maps. Players can be killed in a number of ways, including gunfire, explosions, or through contact with physics objects traveling at high speeds. Half-Life 2 Deathmatch's February 17th update introduced a new map called DM_SteamLab, and three new weapons that had been missing from the game previously, or cut before it shipped. This included the crowbar and the stun stick, dependent on the player model, and the SLAM, or Selectable Lightweight Attack Munition, a real-world weapon which can either be thrown and detonated, or planted on walls to produce a tripwire laser, which detonates the device when in contact with an object or person. While the Xbox release of the original Half-Life 2 contains no multiplayer component, the upcoming re-release of Half-Life 2 for the Xbox 360 will also include Team Fortress 2, in addition to Episodes 1 and 2. New section called Reception. Half-Life 2's public reception was overwhelmingly positive in terms of reviews, acclaim, and sales. Over 4 million copies of the game have been sold either through Steam or retail. This is around half the number of sold copies of Half-Life, but sales for Half-Life 2 have been relatively steady since its release. If Half-Life 2 eventually surpasses Half-Life in sales, it will take the title of the best-selling first-person shooter game to date. Critical response. Half-Life 2 became and remains one of the most highly acclaimed video games in history. At least 35 Game of the Year awards were given to Half-Life 2, and most major game reviewers gave ratings within the 90 to 100% range. Half-Life 2 holds Metacritic's highest ranking and standing, quote, universal acclaim, end quote, among PC games with a score of 96, followed directly by Half-Life, also with a score of 96. Maximum PC awarded Half-Life 2 an unprecedented 11 on their rating scale, which peaks at 10, and named it the best game ever made. Individual reviews were almost universally glowing. Sources such as GameSpy, the Cincinnati Inquirer, and the New York Times have given perfect reviewing scores, and others such as PC Gamer and IGN gave near-perfect scores. It was one of only four games ever to get 96% from PC Gamer UK, the best score they have ever awarded, and the game is only one of two games ever to get a near-perfect score, 98%, from PC Gamer US. While the game became the fifth title to receive Edge Magazine's 10 out of 10 score. Critics who applauded the game cited the advanced graphics and physics, along with the relatively lax system requirements. Very few reviewers gave Half-Life 2 lower than a 9 out of 10 rating. One such critic was NetJack, a reviewing website known for its relative harshness, which gave Half-Life 2 a rating of 8.5. Several critics, including some that had given glowing reviews, complained about the required usage of Steam, along with a difficult installation process. Awards. Half-Life 2 earned over 35 Game of the Year awards, including Overall Game of the Year at IGN, GameSpot's Award for Best Shooter, GameSpot's Reader's Choice PC Game of the Year Award, Game of the Year from the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, and Best Game with the Game Developer's Choice Awards, where it was also given various awards for technology, characters, and writing. The game also had a strong showing at the 2004 BAFTA Games Awards, picking up 6 awards more than any other game that night, with awards including Best Game and Best Online Game. Products. The popularity of Half-Life 2 and the Half-Life series has led way to an array of side products and collectibles. Valve offers Half-Life-related products such as a plush head crab, posters, clothing, and mouse pads. New section called Technical. Source Engine. For Half-Life 2, Valve Corporation developed a new game engine called the Source Engine, which handles the game's visual, audio, and artificial intelligence elements. The Source Engine comes packaged with a heavily modified version of the Havok Physics Engine that allows for an extra dimension of interactivity in both single-player and online environments. Additionally, when coupled with Steam, the engine can be easily upgraded to include many new graphical technologies. One such example is High Dynamic Range Imaging, which Valve Corporation released as a free outdoor level called Lost Coast. Steam Content Delivery System. Integral to Half-Life 2 is the Steam Content Delivery System developed by Valve Corporation. All Half-Life 2 players are required to have Steam installed and a valid account in order to play. Steam allows customers to purchase games and other software straight from the developer and have it downloaded directly to their computer, as well as receiving micro updates. These updates also make hacking the game harder to do, and has thus far been somewhat successful in staving off cheats and playability for users with unauthorized copies. Steam can also be used for finding and playing multiplayer games through an integrated server browser and friends list, and game data can be backed up with a standard CD or DVD burner. Steam and a customer's purchased content can be downloaded onto any computer, as long as that account is only logged in one location at a time. The usage of Steam has not gone without controversy. Some users have reported numerous problems with Steam, sometimes being serious enough to prevent a reviewer from recommending a given title available on the service. In other cases, review scores have been lowered. Long download times seemingly unnecessary updates and verification checks are criticisms leveled by the critics of the system's use for single-player games such as Half-Life 2. Whether or not a customer intends to use any multiplayer features, the computer which the game was installed on must have Steam and an internet connection to verify the transaction. Release and distribution. A 1 GB portion of Half-Life 2 became available for preload through Steam on August 26, 2004. This meant that customers could begin to download encrypted game files to their computer before the game was released. When the game's release date arrived, customers were able to pay for the game through Steam, unlock the files on their hard drives, and play the game immediately, without having to wait for the whole game to download. The preload period lasted for several weeks, with several subsequent portions of the game being made available, to ensure all customers had a chance to download the content before the game was released. Half-Life 2 was simultaneously released through Steam, CD, and on DVD in several editions. Through Steam, Half-Life 2 had three packages that a customer could order. The basic version, called Bronze, includes only Half-Life 2 and Counter-Strike Source, whereas the Silver and Gold Collector's Edition versions also include Half-Life Source and Day of Defeat Source, ports of the original Half-Life and Day of Defeat mod to the new engine, as well as the right to download all previous games by Valve through Steam. The Collector's Edition / Gold version additionally includes merchandise such as a t-shirt, a strategy guide, and a CD containing the soundtrack used in Half-Life 2. Both the disc and Steam version require Steam to be installed and active for play. Subsequent releases. A demo version with the file size of a single CD was later made available in December 2004 at the website of graphics card manufacturer ATI Technologies, who teamed up with Valve for the game. The demo contains part of the opening level for the game, and also part of the chapter called We Don't Go to Ravenholm. In September 2005, Electronic Arts distributed the Game of the Year edition of Half-Life 2. Compared to the original CD release of Half-Life 2, the Game of the Year edition adds Half-Life Source. On December 22, 2005, Valve released a 64-bit version of the Source game engine that takes advantage of the AMD 64 processor-based system running 64-bit version of Windows operating system. The update, delivered via Steam, enabled Half-Life 2 and other Source-based games to run natively on AMD 64 processors, bypassing the 32-bit emulator. Gabe Newell, one of the founders of Valve, stated that this is, quote, an important step in the evolution of our game content and tools, end quote, and that the game benefits greatly from the update. The response to the release varied. Some users reported huge performance boosts, while technology site TechGage found several stability issues and no notable frame rate improvement. 64-bit users have widely reported bizarre in-game errors, including characters dropping dead, game script files not being pre-cached, i.e. loaded when first requested instead, map rules being bent by AI, and other glitches. Ports. An Xbox port, published by Electronic Arts, was released on November 15, 2005. While subject to positive reception, critics cited its lack of multiplayer and frame rate issues as problems, and the game received much lower scores than its PC counterpart. During Electronic Arts' summer press event on July 13, 2006, Gabe Newell announced that Half-Life 2 will ship on next-generation consoles, specifically the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, including Episodes 1 and 2, Team Fortress 2, and Portal. The Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 ports of the game were recently listed on the Electronics Boutique website, which indicated that the ports would be available for pre-release on June 1st, 2007. new section called Expansions and Mods. Since the release of Half-Life 2, Valve Corporation has released an additional level and an additional expansion sequel. The level, Lost Coast, takes place between the levels Highway 17 and Sandtraps, and is primarily a showcase for High Dynamic Range Imaging, HDR, technology. The expansion sequel, Half-Life 2 Episode 1, takes place shortly after the events of Half-Life 2, with the player taking on the role of Gordon Freeman once again, and with Alex Vance playing a more prominent role. Additionally, two further episodes are set to be released in the future, dubbed Episode 2 and Episode 3, the latter being the last expansion in a trilogy. In an interview with Eurogamer, Gabe Newell revealed that the Half-Life 2 episodes are essentially Half-Life 3. He reasons that rather than force fans to wait another 6 years for a full sequel, Valve Corporation would release the game in episodic installments. Newell admits that a more correct title for these episodes should have been Half-Life 3 Episode 1, and so forth, having referred to the episodes as Half-Life 3 repeatedly through the interview. It was confirmed in April 2006 that Half-Life 2 Episode 4 was in production and that it would mark the start of a new story arc. Furthermore, it was confirmed that Episode 4 was under development by a third-party studio under Valve Corporation's supervision. Since the release of the Source Engine SDK, a large number of mods have been developed by the Half-Life 2 community. Mods vary in scale, from fan-created levels and weapons, to partial conversions such as Half-Life 2 and S-Mod, which modify the storyline and gameplay of the pre-existing game, and Gary's Mod, which allow the player to experiment with the physics system in a sandbox mode, to total conversions such as Dystopia or Empires, which transforms the game from a first-person shooter into a real-time strategy game. Some mods take place in the Half-Life universe, others in completely original settings, while some are tributes to other games, such as GoldenEye Source, a recreation of GoldenEye 007, or Resident Evil Twilight, based on the Resident Evil series. Many more mods are still in development, including Neo Tokyo, the episodic single-player mod Minerva, and Insurgency, which focuses on realistic modern infantry combat. Valve Corporation's Half-Life Source was a direct conversion of the original game to the Source engine. Black Mesa, originally named Black Mesa Source, is an unofficial mod under development which takes the more ambitious route of attempting to fully recreate the original Half-Life from the ground up using improved graphical assets and effects while maintaining the original storyline and level design. A new section called Cuts. The book Half-Life 2 Raising the Bar revealed many of the game's original settings and action that were cut down or removed entirely from the final game. Half-Life 2 was originally intended to be a far darker game with far grittier artwork, where the Combine were more obviously draining the oceans for minerals and replacing the atmosphere with noxious, murky gases. Nova Prospect was originally intended to be a small Combine rail depot built on an old prison in the wasteland. The depot model remains in the game, visible from the beach and trash compactor. Eventually, Nova Prospect grew and grew from a stopping-off point along the way to the destination itself. Half-Life 2 was also originally intended to be much more diverse in settings. Part of the book detailed how Gordon would fight alongside characters such as Odessa Cubbage, albeit under a different name and in a different place, as well as fighting together with Colonel Vance, a character that was later merged with Eli to become Dr. Eli Vance and Vance's forces. In addition, the player was to follow a vastly different journey than what is in the final release. Other cuts from the game included a drivable personal watercraft and additional weapons. Weapons also cut in the OICW scene in an E3 demonstration video, and two different models of the gravity gun, or fizz gun, which is seen in another E3 video, also depicting a level cut from Ravenholm, dubbed Trap Town. It remains unknown if most of the cut Half-Life 2 scenes will eventually be completed and released, or if they're lost forever. A removed section of the original Half-Life was eventually released as the Half-Life Uplink demo. A similar situation was in place with the HDR technology demo, Lost Coast, which was based on a scene that was cut from the sequel. It is possible that more removed sections of Half-Life 2 will be seen in future expansion packs. Some of the cut content is available in a work-in-progress mod called Missing Information, constructed using the leaked Half-Life 2 betas as a basis. In addition to several cut weapons, the mod also includes a level set on the standard icebreaker Borealis and the E3 demonstrations. The mod has not been sanctioned by Valve, being described as illegal content, and official permission has not been given for the redistribution of modified versions of the original leaked material. New section, called Soundtrack. All listed tracks have been composed by Kelly Bailey. Purchasers of the gold package of the game were given, among other things, a CD soundtrack containing nearly all the music from the game, along with 3 bonus tracks. This CD is not available for separate purchase. Note, many of the tracks were retitled and carried over from the Half-Life soundtrack. The names in parentheses are the original titles. Tracks 32, 34, 41, and 42 are remixes. Tracks 16, 18, and 42 are bonus tracks that are exclusive to the CD soundtrack. Tracks 44 to 51 are tracks from the game that did not appear on the soundtrack CD. The article then lists all 51 tracks from the soundtrack CD. The article also lists several sites under the section heading See Also, and the article lists 49 separate references and many different external links. This sound file and all text in the article are licensed under the GNU Free Documentation License, available at www.gnu.org/copyleft/fdl.html.